You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, raining chocolate. It's something that's in my dreams.
Yes.
I hope that one day it can happen.
Hide your pets, though, when that happens.
Yes, of course, because dogs can't eat chocolate. Is that
yeah, that's one thing that I've managed to learn since taking on a puppy.
Yeah.
Like, okay, just make sure, like, greasy burgers, if my fingertips are still covered, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you've had chocolate, that's a no-go. Stay sanitized.
Just because of COVID-19 reasons. And so your dog doesn't accidentally eat some chocolate.
So, yeah, hide your chocolate. This happened. Where did this happen?
Well, Simo, yeah, if you do have dogs and you're in the Swiss town of Olten, it's called, you'd be in a spot of bother because that is right near a couple of chocolate factories, most notably Lindt.
Yes.
And they had a bit of a malfunction which forced cocoa powder to rain out of the ventilation system onto the surrounding area. It's like something out of Willy Wonka.
Is it a malfunction or is that like an accidental success? Or is that...
Look, I think technically it's a malfunction, but I mean on the malfunction level from bad to good.
Yeah.
It's certainly more on the good perspective, unless you did have a dog.
Very odd scenario to occur. Apparently, like, some winds as well were to blame.
Yeah, there were strong winds as well, which didn't help. Yeah. That kind of spread the chocolate powder, cocoa powder, further around all over this Swiss town. Simo, the chocolate factory has said they will pay for any damages and any cleanup bills caused from the cocoa factory spreading everywhere.
As they should.
And that the ventilation system has now been fixed and the cocoa powder does not pose any danger to the local environment.
Could you imagine if you parked your car outside?
Yeah.
Like, you've got a really nice, clean car.
Well, like I've got... My car is white. The colour of my car is white.
That would be an issue.
And it's like all of a sudden you're kind of wandering through the car park going... I'm pretty sure my car was parked here, but all these cars seem to be covered in some weird chocolate powder.
At home that night, you're like going through your insurance policy. You're like, all right, hail damage. Yeah, no, that's there. I haven't got chocolate coverage, but I do have chocolate coverage.
Just imagine if you were at home that night and just feeling, oh, I really feel like a hot chocolate or something like that, but I don't have any cocoa powder in the cupboard. I can't be bothered going to the shops, but I really feel like a chocolate, like a hot chocolate. What's happening outside? This interests me.
I've got one of those scrapers, you know, when your window ices up.
Yeah.
So you'd be able to use that, just like chip some chocolate like off the top of your windscreen. That's right. That would be perfect. Leave it overnight. It would chill. And then that is effectively, that could be Lindt's new product.
What, chocolate cars?
Yeah.
Get rid of the bunnies for Easter. We don't need them. We're going all out chocolate cars.
Simo and Jordan.
And mask wearing for the latest on whether you do or you don't need to. NSW.gov.au.
Yes.
Have you got some around home? You still have some, don't you?
Yeah, I still do have some at home just lying around, so we're fine in case we do need to, in case we're like Melbourne and we do have to wear them.
Because you have some left over from the bushfires. You went out and got yourself sorted.
Mm-hmm.
I got 50 of them. The daily usage ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now there is, a scenario that has occurred over in the States where, or even here as well, people getting into like fights over who's wearing masks and who's not.
Oh, yeah, the whole Karen situation from Bunnings. I'm sure you've seen
course.
The video, Simo.
Yeah, so like we've had a bit of that here as well.
Mm.
And now I bring to you maybe a potential solve for that.
Okay.
A man.
Is it a vaccine for coronavirus?
Yeah, I've been busy in my basement.
I mean, that would be surprising.
It would be. I have absolutely.
It'd be good news, don't get me wrong.
I got my degree's from the English faculty. So a man has created a gun that shoots masks onto people's faces.
This is America, right?
Yep.
What is with them and guns?
It solves everything.
So the gun shoots mask. Is the person fine, or does it, as well as the mask being shot onto their face, there is also a bad injury.
Like, no, so the mask like wraps around their face.
And it's a gun.
Yeah. So you can see it here, Jordan.
Okay, so you've got the video here. I'm just I'm looking at your screen. There is a guy. Practicing. It looks like a paintball gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's like a mannequin
from
the supermarket.
It's got a laser as well.
Okay, so he's lining up the gun.
You can see he's got the mask attached to it.
Oh, it looks like a catapult type thing.
Yeah.
and he's shot and he's completely missed the target.
Look, there's still some teething issues.
The fact that he's completely missed the target and almost clocked someone else who was walking behind.
But the little...
And they were standing like a meter away as well.
That's right. But look, that could potentially be a solve for the scenario, don't you think?
No. No. Sim, I'm not an expert, but I don't think people like having guns pointed towards their face, whether they're armed with a mask or bullets.
Like, you could be like wanting to go for a quick supermarket shop and be like, oh, I forgot my mask. And then,
quick, shoot me in the face.
Someone comes around the corner, poof, oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Look, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of various ideas happening around the world at the moment to help people with coronavirus. Don't get me wrong, I support that.
Yeah.
But with this one. Look, it's a pass from me.
Innovation is innovation, Jordan. Don't be so judgy.
If I was playing cricket, this invention would be bowled towards me and I'd do the equivalent of raising my bat and just letting it go through to the keeper. Thank you. Not interested.
Well, I'll give you a feedback to them. You got any ideas for maybe how they could improve?
Maybe get rid of the gun.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan with you.
And Simo, want to talk about some public toilets that have made headlines in Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fine. We can if you want.
And I do want.
Why?
Well, Simo, the reason that these public toilets are making such headlines in Tokyo is because they're... So imagine your normal public toilet. You've got the cubicle, three walls and a door.
Yes, Jordan, we've all been there. We all go there at least once every couple of days.
Okay, just checking. Well, Simo, these public toilets in Tokyo, the walls are completely see-through.
Okay, problematic.
Until the door is locked, in which case the glass that is the four walls turns opaque, thus providing the person inside with privacy.
Wow. Wow. I mean, very cool, but also, like, risque.
Mm-hmm.
The stress that leads up to sitting down. Also, you can see them right up to the moment they lock the door or sit down.
Yeah, as soon as the door is locked, the glass around the toilet turns like a frosted opaque colour. Therefore, it's not see-through. You can kind of see a bit of a silhouette sort of thing, but not. You can't really make any details.
Okay.
And the person inside is in complete privacy until they're finished. Unlock the door. All the walls become glass again. Just people walking past. Because they're just in a park in Tokyo.
Very odd.
So people are walking past all the time.
Would you use it?
Look, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the first.
Yeah.
I kind of want to. It's not rare you say I want to go into a public toilet after someone.
Yeah.
But in this case, I would like to stand from the outside, watch someone go and lock the door.
That's
just to make sure that this wasn't some kind of elaborate prank.
That's even weirder, Jordan, if you're in the park, in the bushes, watching,
I'm
waiting.
I'm not in the bushes. I'm just standing opposite.
Just waiting.
Just casually on my phone. Just wait. I'm not lurking in the bushes waiting for someone to wander into public toilets.
Just lurking.
What do you think I am?
Just waiting. Just like, I'm not sure if I want to go in there.
I've spent $1,000 to get on flights to get to Tokyo. And instead of seeing the sights, I've got to lurk outside a public toilet in the bushes.
Yeah, okay. Like, wow, I'm sorry. Jeez, whoa.
Simo, the people who designed this public toilet, the Tokyo Toilet Project.
Oh, yeah.
Say that these toilets are designed...
That would be TTP for short.
Thank you. TTP has said that these toilets are designed to allow those in need of the facility to quickly determine whether they are clean and whether they are already occupied. It also states... that users should stress the extra importance of making sure the door is locked before they go inside. Because, you know, sometimes at home you kind of just shut the door, you don't bother locking it, and you just kind of quickly go and then leave. You don't want to make that mistake with these toilets.
And their loos do everything, don't they? Is it Japanese ones that do the whole, like, rinse...
Oh, that have a, what's it called, where, like, the water fountain comes out?
Yeah, I don't...
I'm trying to say a bain-marie, but that's not it.
that's
what
cooking.
You get food in out of. You don't want to get those two confused.
Yeah, you are the expert from that particular region.
What? Bums? Toilets?
No, Japan.
Oh, so I've never been to Japan. I'm not a very good expert.
However, what I would say is, yes, they keep on adding more bells and whistles to that particular activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get to the stage, like, you don't have to do anything yourself anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you probably are going to get to the stage where you don't have to lock that door.
Mm.
You don't even have to, like, clean once you've done your business. I reckon it's going to get to the stage where you walk in and you'll get a sedative. Like, something will just hit you. you'll get knocked out and then you'll wake up and you'll be done.
And what, you're drowsy for the rest of the day?
Well, you know...
Call me old-fashioned, Simo. I'm just going to stick with the old-fashioned, walk in, lock the door. Please don't drug me. I'll be involved in my own bowel movements. I'll finish it and then I'll go on with my day as per normal.
It might loosen things up.
Simo and Jordan.
Quarantine. 14 days?
Yeah, I believe that's the rule. I could be wrong. Check out New South Wales Health. Yeah, let me try that again. New South Wales Health website for all the details.
Now, it is 14 days of quarantine in Adelaide. And there's a guy that's come back from the UK.
Okay.
And he's decided to spend his time locked up in that hotel room in a different way, but also in a very good way.
Okay, well, I imagine being stuck in a hotel room for 14 days can get perhaps a tad boring.
All right, his name is Tony O'Neill. He's 54 years of age.
Okay.
And he has decided to run a... Well, he's done a charity run inside his own hotel room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 60 kilometres.
Wow.
Inside his very own hotel room. You can see him kind of getting around here, Jordan.
Is this 60 kilometres in one day or just over the 14 days?
Over the 14 days.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I can see, you show, it's not like, sorry, I thought he had like a treadmill or something in his hotel room.
No.
He's just running back and forth.
Yeah, in an L shape.
In like the little space he's got kind of to the door, around the bed, to the bedside table and back again to the door.
That's right, yeah.
And now he's doing some star jumps for some reason.
He's entertaining the crowd because it turns out this got even more traction because there were some construction workers on the building opposite the hotel that could see into his hotel room. They're like, what is that guy doing? What is going on? And he's ended up raising over, what is it? Oh, it's just over $2,000 now.
Nice.
So a good way to spend a bit of lockdown time.
And a good way for the construction workers to pass the time at work as well.
Yeah, well, they've even started sending him beers. So they started sending him six packs of Corona down to the hotel room because the runner himself, he's started putting like posters up in his hotel window.
Oh, he's put signs in the window. So
help send beer, that kind of thing.
You got to love the construction workers' sense of humour that you're stuck in a hotel because of coronavirus lockdowns, and they send you a six-pack of Coronas.
Now, he has also been presented with a birthday cake that went unclaimed in the hotel. He's also got some wine.
Who's not claiming a birthday cake?
I don't know. It's probably because it would have been for a party at the hotel that probably isn't happening now that there's lockdown. So he's absolutely living in luxury.
I know. He's like, 14 days? No, I want to stay here.
He's doing 14 days in luxury, all while running a fun run as well as raising money for charity. Now, it's worth mentioning he had promised to participate in Fred's big run, wasn't able to do so because of the quarantining that he had to go through. And the funds that he's put together have been pledged to the same foundation, which is to help cure blindness in Australia and overseas.
Fantastic work from him. I have been noticing like a lot of other people have been like stuck in the 14-day quarantine in hotels. And they've come up with lots of inventive ways of, you know, killing the time, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you say with this guy is doing the running around the hotel. I was having a chat to Em's stationary queen who works with us in the office.
Oh, the stationary queen.
She was showing me a video of another guy who was stuck in a quarantine hotel.
Yeah.
Spending his time talking to a watermelon.
Like Wilson, like from Castaway.
Yeah, if Wilson was a watermelon, yeah.
Did he have a name? Wally. Wally the watermelon.
I really hope it was Wally, but I don't think it was.
Wallace?
So it's just interesting, you know.
Walter.
It's just interesting, you know, these people, they're kind of doing, you know, this guy you talk about is doing amazing work for charity, and then there's other people talking to watermelons.
Well, the differences between watermelons and humans, very minor. Both, like...
I would say very major.
Both over 80%. I think we're both made from over 80% water.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of common ground.
Simo, it's not illegal to eat a watermelon. It is to eat a human. And Simo, I was sitting on the couch last night just flicking through the TV trying to find something to watch.
Oh, paint a picture. Did you have a bit of a snack? Did you have your feet up on something?
I did have my feet up.
Oh, what was it on?
The couch.
Oh, was it up on the couch? So you were sideways?
Like, yeah, lying sideways.
Okay, right, yeah. And then how was your neck this morning then? Is it a bit
crook?
Look,
neck, my chiropractor won't be happy with me.
Okay, yeah.
It is a bit sore.
You really should go face on.
I was comfortable.
Okay, fair call.
I know I shouldn't, but I do it. Anyway, so I was flicking through the TV, trying to find something to watch. nothing really I liked, so I went over to Netflix trying to find a movie, that sort of thing, to help pass the time.
Oh, a strenuous life.
I know, yeah, it's a tough life.
Yeah,
I lead, isn't
strenuous.
It? Couldn't find anything, but Simo, this morning I had a look and I found a brand new movie, which looks very interesting. Are you a fan of horror movies by chance?
Am I a fan of them? No, actually, definitely not. I watched The Grudge once and then didn't really want to go near them again. I've watched probably two horror films in my time, The Grudge and Mirrors. Mirrors is a great film because it makes you think. It's like, ooh. Because basically there's something horrible in the mirrors and they can only get you if you look in the mirrors. So I was like, oh, I could just not look in the mirror for the rest of my life. That'd be fine.
And you never did.
The Grudge.
To this day, Simo doesn't know what he looks like.
The Grudge, though, they end up burning the haunted house down. And I don't even think that works. So I was like, oh, didn't sleep.
Well, Simo, perhaps you might have to add one more horror movie to the ones that you've watched, because a brand new British horror movie has been released, which is entirely filmed on Zoom.
Wow. All righty.
During these lockdown restrictions. Yeah, so they got together on Zoom and filmed the horror movie. We've got a little bit of the trailer here.
There's something. You know, we've connected with something. We got to keep going. We got to talk to it.
This is not good. I told you not to disrespect the spirits. There could be something demonic.
Hey, this is all your fault. Not my fault. This is your fault.
Dark days.
Sounds scary.
Mm.
So the plot line is a group of friends decide to get on a Zoom meeting together, a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And try to contact the dead and contact the spirits during lockdown. At the start, it kind of is a bit of a joke. It's like, oh, yeah, spirits, ha, ha, ha. But then things turn very serious, as has been seen in Spooky. It's got like 100% reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, so okay. It mustn't be too terrible.
I had my own horror Zoom experience.
I think everyone's had a horror Zoom. When I kind of typed in horror Zoom, wanting you kind of see the people doing Zoom calls, and then someone accidentally walks naked behind or something like that.
Not so much. That had my very first Zoom call last night. Like, I'd done other video, obviously, conferencing calls, but Zoom. Never used the Zoom before.
Okay.
Quite different. But it was a horror Zoom experience because it was technology and we were there. The conference was called because it was a 64th birthday.
Oh, I think I can see where this is going.
So, you know, they're already kind of like the older birthdays can sometimes be intriguing, shall we say. But then when you get a whole bunch of them on a Zoom call, chaos, absolute chaos last night.
I don't want to kind of generalize, but technology perhaps not the best.
Well, that and also I think the care factor was low. Like, they were enjoying themselves, each and every person where they were anyway. So the fact that the Zoom was on was of very little consequence.
Well, Simo, at least you didn't try and contact the spirits.
No, that's dark. Also, have you seen that the future of horror films is still, it's still able to be done? Because I saw this week that, have you ever done a horror, what do they call them, horror house, like a haunted house?
Like walk through a haunted house.
Yeah, they're doing drive-ins now. Drive-in haunted houses. If you freak out and hit the accelerator, I am fearing for those actors and those extras' lives. It's just like,
yeah,
everyone needs to be on wires and able to be moved out of the way at any point in time.
Imagine the insurance claim, filling it. So how did you get run over, sir? Well
I was dressed as a ghost.
Yeah. We're going to need this. There's like a little box on the form where I do a description of what happens.
I was dressed in
a, I'm going to need more room.
I was dressed as a ghost. I was attached to two wires and I dropped down from the darkness on top of a vehicle, which was inside a haunted house after they got past the dead zombies. I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, we're just going to need you to repeat that.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.